Live from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper, you are Live from the Path.
And you're listening to Live from the Path. We're coming to you from the Pathway Studios here in Johnston proper.
Yeah.
Yeah, buddy. Watch it while I drop the yeah.
Hey, man, I'm excited about saying things like, yeah, buddy, because I was recently called out for saying stuff like buddy.
Here's the deal. When you say buddy, it sounds like something like a cliche group of dudes that you put. It doesn't make you feel special. Hey, how's it going? Hey, buddy. Hey, blank man that I don't care to put a name to.
Or just buddy.
Yeah, just...
Maybe you're reading into this way too much because I called you buddy.
Hey, every man.
Yeah, that's what does...
I don't think anything for you one way or the other.
Wow, all right, fair enough. Glad you're my buddy.
You're listening to Life from the Path on lifefromthepath.org broadcasting every Monday night at 10 in the p.m. And here's the deal. The show is so nice, they play it twice. It shows back up on Saturdays at 7 p.m. on 99.3 KTIA. Which you should definitely check out on the live spin, because I think it's the way to take it in.
So here's the deal. Here's what we got going on the show tonight. First of all, Josh Crawford is joining us in the studio. He's talking about his latest album, You Come Crashing. So we're going to hear some tunes from him. We're going to get his takes on life. And frankly, he made a very serious error recently with the Pelican, and we're going to talk about that. I promised I wouldn't bring that up in the air, but we're going to talk about it anyway.
I've never had a solid run-in with a Pelican.
Here's the deal. That Crawford doesn't know this, but like I heard that Pelican story and like we got to have him on. And then I found out he plays guitar and sings, and I thought, well, you know, while he's here. So we're going to talk about that. Also, we got some Pope style advice. Mike, you got a preview on your Pope style?
Yeah, here it is. Be faithful in the means, God will handle the ends.
Why does it sound familiar?
Yeah.
I feel like I've heard that before.
Okay. Are you legit? You going to do that Pope style?
Yeah, I'm going to do it.
Okay, I love it. Again, the heads up on the Pope style advice. Someone has mistaken Mike for the Pope, and they said, hey, he lives down the street. All these people have gone to Mike's place, and the only way to get him off his lawn, he has to come out, you know, how the guy does, how the Pope comes out on the little bench balcony thing, and he gives a Pope style advice. Mike's got to give that, otherwise they refuse to leave. So,
you know, for the longest time, I was under the impression that they wheeled him out there. Like that he was on like
what?
A that he stood on a wheel like a dolly.
I was gonna say
or a mechanics cart.
How much do you think you got paid to be the Pope dolly master?
Yeah, and I thought they actually just kind of statue wheeled him out in case of trouble. They could wheel him back in real fast because most of them are ancient. You know what I'm saying? Like they don't have the reflexes of a cat anymore to stray from violence.
Pull him back, Bill. He's talking crazy.
So just in case he's either saying something crazy or somebody starts throwing something at him, you could just yank on the rope and poke him.
Bring him back in.
I don't know anything about the popery. I'm not sure if that's accurate or not.
I sure
although,
hope it is.
Here's the deal. The Pope tends to talk so many languages, though. Like, if he says something crazy, you could be just like, well, his Latin's not very good.
Yeah.
Like, you could always...
It doesn't translate from the Hebrew right.
Yeah. Yeah, or the German or whatever. Anyway, Pope-style advice coming up to you. We also got advice on Dear Life from the Path. I think that's what we got going on. Oh, hey, before I go any further, though, a big heads up. We got a concert coming up on Tuesday, July 14th. Silverside, so if you remember a while back, we were excited Silverside was going to come into the studio. We had to reschedule them. They're going to be on the show Monday, July 13th, and then they're going to hang around another day, God bless them, just so they can do a concert here at our church in Johnston to raise money for the homeless. Bubba, you've been kind of doing some... been directly involved with trying to help the homeless with the rain and stuff. They've been displaced, right? So like they're running some pretty serious needs. What have you been seeing?
Going out to the camps recently, we're seeing that these guys are down by where the flood's actually starting to happen. So these guys are really close to the rivers, and what's happening is it's affected the tents. I mean, the rain that's happened has destroyed some of their camps. It started to wash out some of the places they're at. What they're looking for right now is they're looking for replacement tents, up to like a 4-man size tent, which is a pretty large tent, but that also accounts for them being able to have more people in there, more stuff in there, and then eventually heaters in there in the winter. You've got a need for brown and green tarps as they go out there just so they can patch up some of the stuff that they've had to deal with.
Why do they care about the color?
As far as I can tell, the reason they care about the color is that way it's not easily noticeable from roads or things like that. Red tarp, you can see that from way further away than if you've got a brown or green tarp. You want Unfortunately, there's certain parties that be that would want that person out of their home and where they've created their own camp with the brown and green tarps. It allows them to have the safety that they're looking for and have the shielding from the weather that they're looking for, but also make it so that it's not as noticeable from a road or from another place.
Right.
So they're looking for brown and green tarps. Some of the other stuff is just basic necessities when it comes to bottled water, because that's a huge thing right now. It is so hot down by where some of them are. It's so humid. They are getting dehydrated so quickly because of the fact that they don't have fresh water and they can't go and just walk a mile and a half to the local gas station, buy some water, and then walk back. Like, they are in need, and it's treating it like it's a disaster area. You have to go bottled water. Bug spray is a huge thing right now that they're looking for. I was down there for maybe a couple of hours, and I walked away bit so bad, and these people are living in this. So, and then obviously the basic necessities of food that you can bring, and then also hygiene supplies are a big thing. Just looking for the things that probably you take for granted, these guys and gals are looking for wholeheartedly right now in need.
Okay, sweet. So here's what we want you to do. We want you to, you know, as you hit the store this week or in the next couple weeks, I want you to pick up some extra stuff, right? Pick up some bottled water. Pick up some bug spray. I don't know, brown or green tarps if you're on the lam for one. And then come out to the show. It's, like I said, it's Tuesday, July 14th. Silverside is going to do an acoustic concert. It's at 6523 Merle Hay Road here in Johnston, 7 o'clock. And it's a suggested donation of $5. I don't really care what you bring, to be honest with you. Just come out. Bring some stuff that we can help the homeless. We're going to take that stuff to Jop Outreach, and so that they can take it and make sure it gets distributed to the right place. We'll take the money out to them. They go to the camps, kind of like what Booba was talking about, and interact with these folks, and they can get the stuff in the right hands. And so, if you could bring that stuff out, it'll be a good time. The music is awesome. Silverside's always been great when they came in,
yeah.
And they're being very gracious to hang out another day just so they can kind of be part of this. And so we'd love to have you come out. We'll be there, obviously. We'd love to meet you, talk to you, have you guys enjoy the show by Silverside and be part of, helping these folks who need some stuff to, it's weird. Like, when you're talking about putting your life back together, I mean, that's the how easy it all kind of floats away lack of a better thing to say, right? Yeah. Like, it just, they're a lot of times they're by the river. Stuff like this impacts broad amounts of people in one big swoop. And it's basic things that will help them kind of get reoriented and reset, where they need to be. So, it's a big thing for us here. Like, we have a heart for that, and you should. And so, come out to that. Please just bring some stuff, if you can, and, enjoy the show, help these folks out, and come out and meet us and enjoy the music. So that's Tuesday, July 14th. It's with Silverside. It's 6523 Merle Hill Road here in Johnson at 7 o'clock, and we'd love to see you come out. All right, let's get to know Josh Crawford a little bit. Josh, so for folks who have never met you, how would you describe your music to them?
That is always a loaded question, I suppose.
It's fantastic. Next
right,
question.
I know, right? well, I guess it's worship music, first and foremost.
Yep.
It's not any attempt to be on the radio, ironically.
Uh-huh.
However, it probably closely adheres to, like, the Bethel Jesus culture, like, instrumentation. Songs can be 15 minutes, 20 minutes
right.
of spontaneity slash, I mean, there's not really any laughing, which I know Kim Walker's famous for.
Right.
But there's none of that shenanery. However,
I can't stand shenanery.
I know when shenanery
it's the
starts
worst
to,
thing ever.
Yeah, when it starts to run amok, it can ruin a song.
Agreed.
Or whatever. So anyway, it's closest to that, I suppose.
Okay,
further from Chris Tomlin and closer to that.
I feel like that makes you very difficult to deal with in the studio.
Yes, right. So about that.
So speaking of that, you recently released the album "You Come Crashing." What'd you get in there kind of hoping to accomplish? Like, was there a broad narrative you were going for, or just some songs that you had ready that you wanted to get down? What were you thinking?
Right. I have a lot of songs, so really I just kind of started goofing around with some of them to see what songs I kind of was feeling, I suppose.
Yep.
And narrowed it down. There's only four or five, I suppose. My math isn't my strongest suit. But so "You Come Crashing" was just the most attractive title out of the song titles that ended up getting recorded. So there's not a specific theme per se.
Yep.
But that's how it came about.
Well, sweet. I'm interested. Let's let them get to know you by getting to know your music. Tell me a little bit about the song "You Come Crashing."
Sure. So this is probably the newest song that I've written. However, I wrote it before oceans and all of these aquatic themes started to really take over the worship world. Mm-hmm. So now I feel like
I
should
themes.
Say that because I feel that now it feels like I'm riding on the coattails of the Steve Zissou Life Aquatic worship world that we live in now.
I don't. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt. I don't know who that guy is. Who is that guy? What's his name? Steve Zissou?
Steve Zissou?
There you go.
Who
that guy.
That?
Well, Bill Murray played him in a movie.
Yeah. It's Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
I'm not cultured. I'm sorry.
Continue. Yeah, yeah. It was a movie.
But sure. So,
Mike makes his own toothpaste. Yeah, he doesn't.
Hey, seriously, it's called Earth Paste, and it tastes like an armpit. It's terrible.
It's disgusting. Who are you trying to win over for this? That's gross.
Nobody. My wife wants me to do it.
tell me about the I don't know, the contents of the song.
Sure. So the idea was just talking about how whatever you want to picture about God, whether he's love, whether he's a father, whether he's Lord, whatever, the idea of just, I was thinking about just ocean waves, how unapologetically, second after second, they are just crashing on a beach. And no matter what happens, those waves aren't going to stop crashing on that beach.
Right.
And so the idea of God coming in that way, that no matter how far we run or how close we're trying to draw near to him, whether that's his love or his presence, it's just going to keep coming relentlessly, regardless of our apathy, our laziness, our bitterness, whatever we have, even if it is the closeness, he's mm-hmm. just not going to stop coming. So just that idea that he comes crashing on our shore. And just drawing on that metaphor, I guess.
Sweet.
So,
well, all right. Well, let's hear it. You're listening to Life from the Path. This is Josh Crawford with the title track from his "You Come Crashing" EP. You're listening to Life from the Path.
All right. I will not make this 20 minutes.
Fair enough.
The stars like a glorious banner, yet no height could keep you away from me. You carve out the seas with fathoms beyond measure, still no depth could keep you from coming. You are a wave on my shore. You are a knock at my door. And here you come in such a beautiful holiness. And here you come in all your ways, you are glorious. And here you come, loving arms take a hold of us. And here you come, you come. You breathe into dust like a generous creator, giving life to keep you always with me. You gave up the ghost in obedience to the Father. Even death couldn't keep you from coming. You are a wave at my shore. You are a knock at my door. And here you come, such a beautiful holiness. And here you come, in all your ways you are glorious. And here you come, your loving arms take a hold of us. And here you come, you come. And like a wave on my shore, come crashing down. like a wave, crashing down like a wave, crashing down like a wave, crashing down like a wave on my shore. You come.
I really like that concept. I don't know. Even when you're in moments where you feel like there's a distance, and I think some of that's kind of manufactured in what we expect out of certain experiences in everyday life. But this thought process, this constant reminder that like wherever it is you're feeling like that, yeah, that God's pursuit of you and frankly his print on the world. Is just constant and not even just like hovering, but like a coming. That's a great reminder. So if people are interested in your album, where can they go to get it?
Well, it's on iTunes and all of that good stuff. I think it's even on Jay-Z's new controversial title. it's kind of everywhere. It's out there. You can also go to, if you can't remember all that, just go find me on Facebook, the almighty Facebook. I have a musician page on there, and all the should be links and stuff on all of there. So
yeah, definitely. And if you like Live from the Path, go to what we like, because we like Josh Crawford Music on Facebook. So if you can find us, you can find him, and I think that's the right way to do it. And if you don't like Live from the Path, shame on you. Middle Eastern shame from not liking Live from the Path.
You're too conservative with your likes. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I know you accidentally liked Suave Deodorant that one time, and so I feel like you can throw Life from the Path a like or two.
It was an accident. Yeah, here's the deal. If you like Suave Deodorant, they're going to advertise to you. If you like Life from the Path, we don't have any money, so we will not be spending money to advertise to you. You will only get us if you come seek out the page. So there you go. Enjoy that. Make sure you check out Josh's album. We're all potentially scandalous digital goods are sold. Look for Josh Crawford's album, You Come Crashing, iTunes, Amazon, Jay-Z's Back Alley Music, and all these. Are you going to stream on Apple?
I keep getting like in my email inbox every day to join that whole thing.
But you're holding out?
Well, you know, Taylor Swift texted me and was like, I shouldn't do it. So, you know, I'm trying to figure out if I should.
Josh Crawford, I don't need you breaking the internet. I
need to judge for myself whether I should do it. But according to her, I shouldn't.
Yeah.
She's wise beyond her years.
She is. That's the problem. Take it off. All right. So let's do this. We're going to catch up more with Josh later on. He's got another cut from the album, and we're going to hear that Pelican story. Mike, there's a bunch of guys down the road who have scandalously passed on that you are the Pope, and so you're going to have to give some sort of Pope-style advice if you want him to leave your lawn. What do you have for him?
So I think my Pope-style advice this time around is I'm going to echo what we pretty much pound into the ground here at Life from the Path, be faithful with the means, and God will handle the ends. But I'm going to point it a little bit more specific to be faithful with your means, and God will handle the ends. And the reason I say that is because I struggle a lot with defining myself on what, people who I really appreciate for their faith, the way that they love Christ, and it comes out of them, and the words that they speak, and the love they just tend to show people. And like, I hang around quite a few people like this that I think are just gifted by God in the way that they deal with people. And I am not gifted in that way. You know, and there's parts of me that really struggle with, I just
I want to embrace that. I feel like I'm missing out on part of God's kingdom because I'm not designed that way. But the truth of the matter is where the Pope style advice comes rolling in, which is be faithful in your means and God will handle the ends. Like, God has designed me to do things just the way he's designed you to be a certain way. And the danger in embracing that is you can get yourself into a really thin line of a rut and go, well, this is all I do, right? Like, Holy Spirit gone, God's word gone. This is what God must have designed me to be this way because I'm naturally X. And it could be that you're naturally a jerk, and then you just embrace jerkiness, and then that's it, right? And you're like, this is what I do for the kingdom. I jerk people. I just get mad at them, and I'm upset all the time, right? And, like, that's probably not the case, right? But the parts of me that God has created for his glory, those are the ones that I feel like I can embrace and say, you know, these are the things that come out of me naturally and are easiest. I wouldn't say easiest, but, like, they point most directly towards God when I'm paying attention to what he's asking me to do, opposed to maybe some of the phony versions of Mike that maybe I attempt to create. And so I guess what I'm trying to encourage to you through the Pope style advice is like, God has created you specifically. We go through that a lot in the Bible, and people like to point that a lot when they want to feel like God's love upon them, and that reflects back to who he's created you to be in his kingdom and the hands and the feet. And like, when it all boils down, someone is a hand and someone is a foot, and they're not the same people. And so just be confident in the gifts, the abilities, and to most, I don't know, 75% the extent your personality, right? Like, he's designed you to be part of his kingdom in the way that he's built you. And I just encourage you to embrace that and roll forward with that and just let God take care of the ends.
So does that ring true for any other fellas? Like, do you ever feel like you are reaching to change? Like, do you feel there's a deficit in how you're serving the kingdom, watching other people serve, that is a personality thing where you feel like, or have you ever felt like, I need to change to be more like that, to be serving God the way that he wants to be served, or to further the kingdom the way that he wants it furthered? Is that something that rings true in it? Did I explain that right, Mike?
Yeah, that's pretty close.
Kind of like the gist of it, right?
I've done that. You know, you see someone who you respect or who you just admire in some way, you think, man, I wish I was more like that.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why you admire them, because you're not like that. And you can kind of go through that crisis of, wow, I'm a big jerk, I'm a loser.
Right, if this what faith looks like, I don't look anything like that.
Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
In real trouble.
yeah. It's like, well, maybe I'm just being, I need to be, like you say, who God created me to be and just let God work through me. And you have to be okay with that.
No, yeah, I think that is, and that goes a little bit to what we were talking about just a little bit earlier when Josh was talking about his epic tunes. Is I think there is something where you see other people worshiping in a certain way, or they have skills in a certain way, and you can look at them and say, boy, that smells like Jesus, and I know I don't do those things. Maybe I'm just not following correctly. When the truth is that, like, if everybody's created in the image and likeness of God, but there are certain things that God has given you that otherwise reflect that your personality is just distinct. And I think we're blind to act like that's not the case. But if that's the case, that means he can use those things. I have a I'll be honest, like, I'm a bit introverted. Like, I lean introverted. And there's people that, like, I mean, you see them being able to talk to anybody. They can strike up conversations, and they seem to be able to provide. They have good words. There's people who just need to be in certain situations because you're like, that guy can talk in that circumstance. This is the guy. And I look at those and I say, shoot, man, I can't be a legitimate pastor of the gospel. I can't do that. I can't strike up a conversation with anybody. I say stupid things, or I comment on things that are offensive and I don't even know it, right? Mm-hmm. And so you think, what was God even thinking? And then I think, well, God can't be wrong. I must be wrong. Maybe I'm not even doing the right thing with my life. And so I think there are times when God is not asking us to look at other people. It's to look back to him and say, do you not see this as part of me, as part of my, as God's character? And he's given you that for you to use for otherwise the furtherance of the kingdom. And so I think it is a bit of a dangerous territory when we're using those comparisons. However, Mike, I think your warning is appropriate, though, because sometimes we say, well, God didn't create me to do those things like that. And maybe it's just because you're lazy. Maybe you're saying that because, like, you just don't want to do certain things, and you're like, well, God didn't create me to be, you know, care for the widow and the orphan. I'm sure glad someone else handles that. I'm like, well, no, that don't smell right.
Yeah, and it's, you know, some examples have been kind of thrown around in my life. I mean, this may come as a shocker, but, like, when people are crying, I'm not exactly the most comforting dude in the room. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's not that I don't want to be. I just don't. I mean, I phony it, right? I look around the room and I see what I feel is probably logically the most effective thing going on, and I attempt to mirror it in some fashion. You know, like if everyone else is crying, I might think, well, I should probably cry too a little. You know, and it's not like a completely devoid of feeling, like a robot, I completely phone it in. But like, I just don't have that natural inclination. But I know that doesn't disqualify me from being there, right? Like, it just puts me in more of the Job's Buddies category before they jacked it all up, right? You can show up and just be there. Like, you don't have to weep and make a deal. And if you don't, like, I feel like there's nothing more disingenuous for people when they're hurting for you to phone it in, right? Like, if you're a friend of theirs, show up as their friend. If you're their family, show up as their family and be you, the person that they always know, right? And I can't be counted on for, like, some kind of weepy tirade. I can be counted on for bringing a soda and standing next to you for many hours if that's what it takes to feel comforted, right? And so, like, I guess maybe that's the stuff, like, in situations that are kind of big and heavy or even just everyday stuff where I'm like, I wish for the life of my right toe I had something decent to say here. But I don't, right? I just stand there and be, and I'm there. And that's what I feel like that's what God's made me to do. And any attempt past that is just a phony attempt to act like the Holy Spirit is talking to me at that moment when he's not, right? Like, he designed me to be there, and I'm there, and that's it. That's just kind of how it's going to roll.
And I suppose that's the thing, is take the imperatives that say, this is what people, this is how the kingdom functions, this is what people do, and then do that in the way that God has you doing them. And like, and I suppose that's the broad advice, right? Be faithful in your means, and God will handle the ends. If trust that God will provide the right person if coming and weeping next to you is the right answer.
Yeah, if weeping Joe is required, God will call weeping Joe, and I will still be at home, right?
Yeah.
But like, if I feel like God's like, I need you to go, I'll be like, okay, I'm on the way. I don't provide weeping advice. We cool? Yeah, we're good.
And,
okay.
and I think that's where there's also a protection aspect to that too. Like, if you think of certain people that are hurting, or they need help, or they need advice, like, I have to trust that God will put the right person to give them advice, as opposed to putting you in a weird circumstance. Like, you remember that, what was our Dear Life in the Path from a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was last week, where it was two spouses who had rough times in their marriage, and then they started to talk to each other, and it was running into trouble, right? I have to trust that, like, I know that's a dangerous situation for two spouses who are having marriage troubles to try to get together and try to talk about their separate marriage problems. That tends to lead to bad issues. And so, as a faithful Christ follower, I say, hey, I know this causes trouble. I have to trust that God will provide the right person that isn't me to be part of this situation, right? And it's, I don't have to force that issue and say, but no one else will do it, Lord. Like, I have to trust, that's the nature of communal living, right? It's the nature of a Christian community, which you say, God will provide, he does. I have to trust that he will, without putting myself in a situation that isn't what God created me, or doesn't make sense in the circumstance or within the confines of how I'm supposed to behave. And so I think it works on both as a protection, but also as a, this is how I live, and I don't have to feel guilty about who God has created me to be. I just need to be that.
No, I mean, and that's the number one problem with Christian guilt, is it just gets you stuck, and then you don't do anything, right? The one thing you're worried about is, am I being effective for the kingdom? Am I doing what God wants me to do? How come I'm not more like that guy? And what has happened is that you've taken all the natural inclinations that God gifted you with when you were born, when he made you, and you've said, I don't know if this was really supposed to be me, and now you've just sat there in a rut for X amount of time trying to battle that out, when you've basically become what you feared. You feared that you weren't making any difference. You feared that you weren't following what the Holy Spirit guided you to do. You feared you were outside of God's provision. And then all of a sudden you find that you caused that by questioning everything that God gave you, right? And that's where I think it turns out to be a mistake.
Right. It's a very interesting conversation when you think to yourself, like, I say, God, I really wish I was gregarious. I really wish I was more able to talk with people. And God looks down and says, hey, I really wish you were you. I created you. I wish you were that.
Yeah.
I want you to be that.
The comparison game is pretty dangerous, really.
Yeah.
I remember in college, I was going into preaching, and there's this buddy of mine in college who like, with no preparation, would get up and just speak, and people would weep, and he just sounded like he'd been studying for hours, or no, I didn't sound like he was. He just was good.
Yeah, right.
You know? And I fumble over my words like I do here. I'm like, oh, blah, blah, blah,
like
blah,
blah, you know,
I'm not silver tongued, dude. You know, I have to really think about stuff, and then I have to put it on paper, and then I can, okay, now I can communicate it now that I've thought it through.
Yeah.
Totally opposite of that guy. But there were times I was like, I shouldn't be doing this. What am I thinking? You know, I was like, God doesn't want to use me. He can't use me. I'm just a big loser. And Some of that might be true, but here I am still anyway,
doing nothing.
But, you know, I'm just saying it does. It paralyzes you at times. You know, the counseling thing, I'm not that guy. I'm not that guy. I've been in situations where someone comes and they're in a situation and I'm with another dude and they're like, here's what you need to do. Bam, 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 bam. And I'm thinking, hey, that's good stuff. Never would have thought of that. You know, I'm thinking, well, get a job. You know, I don't have a good response. Well, you're fighting in your marriage. Well, quit. Stop doing that. Don't be a jerk. And, but I can't, you know, so, but there is a place for me somewhere. Still looking for it, but it's there, you know, but I'm just not the other guy.
And I think where we struggle with that is we try to solve that problem on our own. And again, that's where community comes into play, right? Like, your community will help refine that out. It's not like God leaves you twisted in the wind. I feel pretty confident that if I'm making the wrong choice about where God has me, or I'm thinking maybe it's not here. Maybe I don't understand my gifts correctly, or I think more or less of what I should. A faithful community around you will help you straighten that right out. They just will. And they'll point you in the right direction, and I think God provides that. I think He provides a community of people that can be that support and say, "Hey, I'm really gifted in this area." Ben, no, you're not.
Yeah, it turns out you're mistaken.
No, you're full of shenanigans.
You're gifted at being mistaken.
And God has produced you so that I may refine my gift of pointing that out.
Yeah, what's your ministry? I'm in the mistake ministry. I just make mistakes. Do you
just
want to
don't
join?
Follow my lead?
So I suppose the broad output is be faithful in your means. Be let God use you, the you that He created, and you don't have to change that. There are refining processes of making sure that the you, like, you can't be like, oh, God just created me to cheat on my wife all the time. Like, no, that's thinking of it the wrong way. But like, yes, has He given you certain things that can be of use to the kingdom that He's not necessarily asking you to change that? Now, are we pliable? I am less of an introvert than I was 5 years ago, because I feel like God, I really feel like God has done that. I prayed about that and said, God, if I'm to minister appropriately to your people, does this need to change? Because you know what my inclinations are, and can you help me change it if that's the deal? And He certainly did. I'm significantly different than I was. I don't think I will ever be a crazy, gregarious guy who can just meet people and make connections well. I just don't know that I can. But I can honestly say that I'm different than I used to be. And it's because basically the way I approached it was is like, God, I'm willing to do what you need me to do. And the things that you know that I didn't do well, I'm expecting that you'll change. And I feel like He has. And that doesn't change my personality. It is just extended. It is bent some things. It has opened my eyes to some things, and it otherwise pulled down curtains that I may have placed in because I thought, oh, I'm just an introverted guy. And really, I put some shackles on some things that God has otherwise set free. And so it doesn't mean that you're not pliable. It doesn't mean that you can't change. And it doesn't mean that you ever have completely identified what your full personality is. It just means that he's not, I don't generally think that God is looking to say, here's how I created you. By the way, I want you to be someone completely different. And that goes to some of the discipleship stuff we've been talking about is we have this, I was asking a group of guys, we were talking about discipleship, and I said, can you name a guy that makes disciples? And everybody, Billy Graham, Billy Graham, Billy Graham. I'm like, okay, Billy Graham. So how does Billy Graham, you know, in your mind, how does Billy Graham make disciples? And they got him speaking in front of, you know, tens of thousands of people, right? This is Billy Graham. And I say, all right, now how many other guys besides Billy Graham have you ever met that like talk to tens of thousands of people? And they're like, well, no one. I said, well, maybe we should stop using him as the example that comes to your mind of who makes disciples. because if we have people who have it in their mind that like disciple making, yeah, I should be Billy Graham. I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure you're not the next Billy Graham. And he's preaching to people. I'm not going to speak to his disciple making, but you may not even be thinking about that right. So let's dial that down a little bit and let's think about how Jesus makes disciples, and what does that relationship
look like? Well, that should have been the best answer, right?
I know, right?
When you ask a group of people who makes disciples, your answer should have been Jesus.
and see, the thing, there's a cult, I think everyone, like, if you wrote Jesus on a piece of paper, they would have chosen that, right? But, like, culturally, the first thing that pops in your mind is some guy that speaks in front of thousands of people, and there's a burden on whoever your pastor is, and people just think, well, that's what other people do, as opposed to putting that within the context of, if we're to make disciples, I don't think God gave us something that we're not capable of, right? And so the Holy Spirit guides your life and says, well, you may not actually talk in front of 10 people ever, right? But you know people, do you not? You know people that need Jesus. You know people that could use another Christian friend that's coming alongside them and helping them walk through life and are going to follow you as you follow Christ. And so, yeah, why don't we start there and kind of pull Billy Graham off the rafters a little bit and put him in some right perspective. And the thing is it's weird how many years someone goes by not really engaging in some of the work of the kingdom because they thought it was completely different than what it is. And some of that's a cultural thing, and some of that's it's not that the church gave that message. It's just that people kind of see what they see. They see an outpouring, or they see a big thing, and they say, "Well, that must be how it's done." And the truth is that like people without the silver tongue still accomplish God's work. Yeah, they just do. Introverted guys still actually do help people.
That's kind of the killer thing, though, right? Like, is if you thought that Billy Graham was the way that it's done, what have you been doing with yourself the last 5-10 years? You know what I'm saying? If you thought this is how disciples are made, you, sir, should have been renting a stadium here and there and at least failed at it to say, I gave it my best shot, but this is how it's done.
But when I was a young preacher, I used to hope that I'd get cancer and know, like, I had, like, 8 weeks to live, and I thought that would fill the auditorium. And then I'd be like, what?
I really would think that.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know.
Senior year thesis.
So I did nothing. Cancer. If I can't fill an auditorium, I'll do nothing. I'm still waiting.
Dan, how do you make disciples? Cancer.
Then they'll listen. Then they'll feel sorry for me.
A debilitating disease, a terminal illness, and then 8 weeks, and then I will just go on a spree of disciple making.
I didn't say I was smart.
Well, I'm glad you didn't, because now we would call you a liar.
Here's the deal, though, is Dan is being honest in what is otherwise like what most people interpret as a numbers game. And you want numbers? You get yourself a disease. You know what I'm saying? you want something big, you have to show up with something big. And like, yeah, if it was a how many butts can we get in the seat, that's how it's done, right?
Hey man, I can't go against that. At one point in time I had a pocket Bible that was a New Testament that had verses written on my side so that I could hand it to somebody and then have the next verse on the page that I was on. So I could turn to page 637, it'd be another verse that's highlighted. I'm like, and here's what else Jesus has to say. And then it would have like page 439, and I'd flip back to 439. That was my disciple making. I think that's a little bit worse than, hey, I'm going to get cancer, and then go 8 weeks of just hardcore Jesus. And the people were like, oh man, that guy was awesome. You remember that guy? He got canceled like 8 weeks ago, and now he's gone? Seriously.
He makes disciples.
Go for it. That guy was the short-term Billy Graham.
He's just calling Billy.
He's the Affleck of Billy Graham.
Go forth and hope that your highlighted Bible makes disciples on your behalf.
Exactly. And you know what the worst part is? My dad was the one who did the highlight. I didn't even do it. I didn't do the page numbers. He handed me the Bible that had a handwritten note that said, turn to page 184. I'm
like, I can do that. Just read like, this, boy.
As I'm reading it, he goes, hey, man, turn to the next page. I'm like, okay. He's like selling me on Jesus through the Bible. I'm like, hey, man, I don't know if I was sold before now, but now I'm definitely in. This is awesome. This is better than an 8-week Billy Graham.
Excuse me, sir, are you from all nations? Because I really need to check something off.
Would it be bad if I told you I'm the one who taught him that?
Did you really?
Yeah. He's like, I don't know what verse to go to next. Well, here, just do this. Write this little note.
Dan Hudson, I've been telling that story as a joke for years. Apparently, I've been telling it in front of you.
And here you are. It worked.
Hey, man, I'm willing to give a lot more deal into the transformative power of Jesus and the Holy Spirit.
It was a tool. It worked at the moment.
Dan, I read it like one time and then tried it with one person and went, hey, man.
Yeah, I don't use it either.
Page. Hey, what's the next verse I should read? It's on page 637. I know that for certain. Let's look together, and we'll both know about Jesus.
Just give me the gist of it. I really can't. You got to turn the page. Really, yeah.
Hey, man, something about confessing. I don't know. Let's look at page 400.
This is a choose your own adventure Bible, man. You got to go to the next page, dude.
Something about the Philippians road. I'm not sure.
I'm not certain. I'm pretty sure somebody talked to some guy, and then some dude got dunked in some water. Hey, man, can I come over on your side? I probably need to read this.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I think Billy Graham shows up in Thessalonians.
I hadn't had cancer yet, so leave me alone.
Somebody told me about the second hesitations thing. I'm not sure what that is.
You're listening to Life from the Path. God bless you. Thanks for hanging out with us tonight. If you have mistakes in life, shoot us an email, info@lifefromthepath.org.
Or if you're Billy Graham.
Yeah, he might listen to the program.
It's possible. He's in the mistake ministry.
I swear those hoofbeats were approaching. So you're listening to Life from the Path. You can join us online at lifefromthepath.org during the week. You can see clips from the show. Hey, those clips from Foreverland from their performances last week are up on the website. Those guys are awesome.
Yeah, but Broken Line's a good tune.
Yeah, they did a great job. And we fit a lot of dudes in the studio. Luckily, we're in the bigger studio.
Yeah.
Because those were a lot of fellas, but they did a great job. Keep an eye. That's still Wednesday, yes? Their show's at
Point of Grace.
At Point of Grace, yep. On Wednesday at 7 o'clock?
Yeah. Yep, and okay. I'll be there.
That's a sweet show. Boova's going to be out. And, hey, still hook up with that. Go see Frevlin at Point of Grace on Wednesday. And, anyway, you can also, see past episodes of the show. Sign up for the podcast. There's always free extra content on the podcast and, a good 15, 20 minutes. If you absolutely cannot get enough, the podcast is there for you to give you cuddles at night. And so, sign up for that. Also, before we go any further in the show, big thanks to our sponsors, Bob Eisenhower with the Eisenhower Team. Go to EisenhowerTeam.com. Big congratulations to Bob. He's a recently married man.
Yeah.
And just as everything, he looks good doing it. And so you can go to EisenhowerTeam.com. They've got houses for sale. You can check those out. If you don't know whether now is a good or a poor time to sell your house, Bob's a realtor. He knows that kind of stuff. So he's the type of guy to contact. And he can just at least have that conversation with you. It's like, how are things going? And both Mike and I have used him for real estate stuff, and he's been on the show a few times. He's just an all-around great guy. That's why we have him as a sponsor on the show, and he's always been gracious with us. Make sure to check that out. Also, go to Westfield Veterinary Hospital, westfieldvethospital.com. I got an appointment this week for Westfield. One of my dogs, my dogs are getting old, and like I don't know what is a symptom of getting old or what is a symptom of like being legit sickness.
Yeah.
And so... like the, I don't know, the back part of my dog, the back 40% is getting a little, is thin.
Oh, yeah.
And so, she's old. So I need him to check it out and say, hey, how are things going? Dan, what is that?
She can hang out with my dog. She's doing the same thing.
What did you write on the card? The back 40% is thin? That's what you wrote?
Yeah, man. I don't really know how to explain that other than like, yeah, the dog goes like this and then kind of thins out a little bit in the back 40%.
Yeah, there's trouble on the back nine. That's how I explain it.
Trouble on the back nine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so, and the dog's real picky with the food. And like we've been trying. Here's the thing: is that we got two dogs, right? And so the one that's getting real skinny is getting picky with the food. And so we tried to buy some like food that's not really good for her to get her to eat the food that is good for her, to kind of mix it in a little bit.
I do that with my kids all the time.
Yeah, yeah. So we're trying to do the old switcheroony on her and dumping some. We bought some liquid food and put it good in there. Now the problem is that the fat dog we have, who I don't think is sick, but is just fat. Has caught on that we've been putting the gravy into the sick, potentially sick dog, and now she's refusing to eat too until we put some stuff into her food. And like, I looked at her in the face yesterday and I said, for years I took you as a dummy and I apologize. Like that, the fat one's really got me. Like she's really giving me the business. And so, so now I'm out two things of food, right? Cause I still want them to eat the healthy food, but then they both suckered me into getting them the dessert food to get them to eat.
Yeah,
and so now I mean the dog's really got me. They've got me in a rough spot. So I need Westfield to straighten this thing out, so that I can manage my household correctly with the dogs. So anyway, go to Westfield Vet Hospital. You can set up appointments online. You can do it right now. Their website is available 24 hours a day. In fact, I've not come across a website that isn't. That would be awkward if the web went down for an hour.
Our website hours are 8 to 5. Monday through Friday, 10 to 7, Saturday and Sunday.
Here's the deal, though. I feel like we should do that with our website, though. We should go off air for like 7 hours to build some level of anticipation. Because like, if it's like 4:59 a.m. and all of a sudden Howdy Doody comes on at 5, you're like, heck yeah, something happened.
We have one station in Des Moines where we just used to have the broadcast channels where it would go off air at nighttime. And then, like, 5:30 in the morning, I would happen to be up. I'm like, man, I have no idea what's on, but there's nothing right now. I'm going to wait and see. And then it was always, like, some kind of corn harvest show.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I'd be like, dang it, I'm very disappointed. But another couple years had passed, and I hadn't done it in a while, and I'd forget. And so at 5:30 in the morning, I'd be like, man, I wonder what comes on at 6. And I show up, and it's like, corn harvest with Brian, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, dang it, Brian. How come you're still on the air? I didn't care about this 2 years ago.
Hey, that guy that checks corn prices, though, like, I mean, he's got to got people up at, like, 3 in the morning. Checking that stuff out.
Yeah,
I mean, he's ready for broadcast. Anyway, Westfield Vet Hospital. Go to Westfield Vet Hospital.
Problems you don't have on the East Coast. I understand.
Yeah. All right. So if you're not in the market to buy or sell a home, or you don't have a sick pet or a healthy pet that you want to take to Westfield, give them a call. Shoot them an email. Just tell them thanks for sponsoring Life in the Path. They're the reason that we get to stay on the air due to their gracious provision and also some blindness at the Truth Network 99.3. And that's why you get to listen to Life in the Path on Saturdays at 7. So big thanks to all those parties. For God, I don't know, doing whatever in their lives to let them continue to do this. So big thanks to those guys. All right, but we've ruined the show. Josh, here's the deal. We need you to bring this thing back up from the grave, that type of thing. So let's talk about the other tune, Just So You Know. So what, I don't know, what message are you trying to get across with Just So You Know?
This is more, it's kind of like a prayer in the song, talking about really, in a way, like if you've gone through something horrible, awful, and everyone's scale of what horrible and awful is different, right? So stubbing your toe is one thing, and your dog's back nine having issues.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. So
it's real time.
No matter what you got going on, it's the idea of really just talking to God directly and just saying that you're not letting go, that you're not going to let go of God. Like, yeah. Despite of what's going on, A, you don't blame God. And B, even if you did, you're still not going to give up on that relationship that you have with him or whatever. So that's what it's about.
All right. All right. Let's dig on it. This is Josh Crawford. You're listening to Live from the Path. This is Just So You Know.
I will turn up the guitar now.
I'm excited about
that. Yes, I love to be caught away. Yes, I love to be caught away. I'm diving in to your depths, face to face, to feel your breath. And I love to be caught away. Yes, I love to be caught away. Yes, I love to be caught away. When nothing can separate, there's no way I can escape. And I love to be caught away. Sweeping me away, you're sweeping me away now, you're sweeping me away, you're sweeping me away now, now, now. Will I clench my fist around the hem of your garment, and I'm not letting go. Will I clench my fist around the hem of your garment, and I'm not letting go. And just so you know, and just so you know, and just so you know, and just so you know. Just so you know, just so you know, just so you know, I love to be caught away. Yes, I love to be caught away. Separate, there's no way I can escape. And I love to be caught away. Sweeping me away. the hem of your garment, and I'm not letting go. Well, I clench my fist around, around the hem of your garment. Yeah, you're sweeping me away. Yeah, you're sweeping me away now. You're sweeping me away. You're sweeping me away now. Jesus, I know. Jesus, I know. You're not letting go.
All right, man, that was Josh Crawford. You're listening to Live from the Path. That was Just So You Know. That is on his most recent release, You Come Crashing. You can find it where all reasonable digital goods are available, Amazon, iTunes. You can Spotify that beast. And then again, and potentially Apple streaming at some point.
Right.
He's on the fence. I think that's right. Fair. That's a wise, prudent move, Crawford.
I'm lukewarm, as they say, to that one.
I think that's all right. You can hook up with him. If you go to Facebook.com, you're looking for Josh Crawford Music. If you like Live from the Path, look at what we like because we like him, and you can find his page that way if you're otherwise not familiar. Otherwise, just do a search for Josh Crawford Music, and it will be out there. You can pick up that album. Make sure you do that. And it's also like that Facebook page, and it's always cool as an artist to be able to kind of engage with people that are soaking in your art. Mm-hmm. Right. So as you listen, if you got some feedback for Josh, just being on that side of the thing as someone that's creating something, it's just nice to interact with people. Just let people know what you think. It's not a bad thing. Just take a little bit of time. Let people hear from you. So look for that on Facebook. Get a hold of Josh. And now, Josh, are you at a you lead worship at a church?
Yes, I do. So I lead worship. It's called The Base, and it's non-denominational. And actually, we meet on Saturday nights, which is not because we're Seventh-day Adventists, per se, but it's a long story. But we meet on Saturday nights. We identify more as a ministry versus a traditional church. We do not have children's church with puppets and a youth group and stuff like that. So,
are you sure about that no puppets thing, though?
Well, I'm That's kind of a puppet, really, without the strings. I'm a real boy at this point. So, yeah. No, so I don't know. We meet on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. and worship, teaching, prayer, all the things you would kind of find in a church service. But yeah.
Just no puppets.
No puppets.
That's the poor for it, but otherwise it sounds like a deal.
Right.
Like something to go to. All right. If people wanted to hear more about that, is there a website? Is there something they could do?
So that ministry is at thebaseiowa.org is the website for that.
All right. Very cool. Very cool. Check that out. Josh will be leading worship at that thing.
Yes. Now,
are you ready?
Nonstop every Saturday.
I'm ready to rock.
We don't have much of a rotation, so I'm live and direct every Saturday night.
Is it you? Like, do you have a band, or is it?
We have a band, actually. My wife plays drums, of all things.
Sweet.
And then we got bass and keys. So one guitar. It's a power quattro. Sounds like a razor from Schick, but it's our worship team.
Here's the deal. Schick does very well. So I feel like what you're doing sounds like a good idea.
Right. More blades equals more something.
That's right. Although people have switched to ordering those razors online, have you considered ordering your band online?
Yes, through Craigslist, like every reputable worship team is put together.
Have you ever tried them online razors, Bubba?
Yes.
What are your thoughts?
It was one of the...
They don't work. Kidding his legs.
When I was shaving my head every day, it was the best razor I've ever used. I went to use the Dollar Shave Club razors.
Nice.
It was like $9 a month to get four brand new five-blade razors, and then you just pay a one-time fee for the actual handle itself. And I got the shaving cream from there, and it was the closest shave I've gotten, and I didn't cut my head all the time.
I had an opposite experience. Like, I got them, and I shaved so intermittently that, like, they started piling up on me. It looked like I was saving for the end of the world. Like, every month they'd show up, and they're like, here's 10 more. I'm like, I don't need 10 more. I still got four left from last time.
If you read the website, it says you get enough to use one razor a week. If you don't shave enough to use one razor a week and be comfortable throwing that away, you're wasting your money.
No, yeah. I mean, they were just, in fact, to this day, I have 45 razor cartridges sitting in my house until luckily there was a fraud at my bank and my debit card had to get changed out. So they lost my card number. And so they're like, please come back to us. Our card number's wrong. It's just an innocent mistake. And I'm like, this is my way out. I'm not re-upping nothing. So now I'm back to buying the regulars.
I couldn't do it because it wasn't really a dollar. I went there and I thought, oh, this is going to be great.
It's a buck a shave. I'm like, no, they went $9.
Yeah, if you buy that razor, you but can I do could, it for
I
a dollar.
I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it.
No, Dan can't do it. All right, you better listen here.
Let's talk more about this, Ben.
No, I hear what you're saying. You're living this life in the path. Big thanks to Josh Crawford for coming on the program. He's going to hang out with us on the podcast. And if you're listening on the Truth Network, 99.3, thanks for hanging out with us. But we do have to let you go. And be faithful in the means. God will handle the ends. If you're listening to the podcast, we'll be right back with you. Thanks for listening to Life from the Path. Hey, there's tunes. I can hear the tunes. You guys can't hear
the
tunes.
Man, that's not fair. I feel like I should be dancing, but I don't know what to dance to.
Certainly not puppets. Not with Crawford.
Right, exactly. When I met you, I did not expect I'm a real boy to be the conversation we ended up having.
I'm a real boy.
You know, they never order the beat up Samaritan puppet. You know what I'm saying?
wait. No, the Samaritan was the helper.
Huh?
He was the helper.
Who's the guy that was?
What's the nationality of the guy? He's just the run
he's
of
the other guy.
Just the other dude?
Run of the mill Jewish guy.
Yeah, they don't ever put that guy
you don't
in
have
stenograph.
The beat up guy puppet.
Yeah. I mean, it's always just a guy that looks okay, and then the Samaritan comes by and helps him.
I would love to see that Sunday school where you walk in with a bruised up, cut up puppet.
Like, I'm looking for a hotel for no charge.
You get that one guy in the back's like, stop shading the gospel.
He was beat up, you know that.
Yeah. You have a bit of a stutter when you're mocking the puppet.
These are the guys that like physically want you to stenograph David's indiscretions on the board so the kids don't miss the reality of David. You know what I'm saying? Like, all right, dude. Calm it down a little bit.
Heresy.
All right. You listen to Stand Life from the Back.
Hey, man. Can we go to like a magic show someday and stand in the back and just scream heresy whenever the guy does like magic
just for no reason? Voila! Heresy!
I just want to see the guy that does the cliche rabbit out of the hat and us all four just stand up and go, heresy!
It's magic. He's a witch.
Yeah. He's a witch.
I used to do magic shows, like travel around to
heresy!
The library. Yeah. I had a big beard on and stuff. I was the great Plutoski.
Dan, please tell me this is Dan.
Anyway,
Dan, I know you know 13 year old.
There were like signs right there all over town. We went to the library.
Dan,
and
I've known
shows.
You since I was 11 years old. I need you to tell me that you were lying right now.
I am absolutely
not,
true.
Used to be the great Stukowski and whatever.
Stukowski.
What?
Hold on a minute. Hold on. I did not know that.
Yes.
However, there is not an element of surprise in my body to that revelation. I love that story, Dan.
Who brought this on, man?
I loved magic.
I could just see him going up to his wife and be like, what do you think of the great Blutowski? Yeah, that's great, Dan.
I knew it was in elementary school. I was young.
You put a beard on as like an 11-year-old and walked around?
Yeah, well at the show, you're...
Now, wait a minute. I was totally ready to believe you did this as a grown man.
I was like, here's the deal. When you said that, I envisioned you at like 24.
I got a little place in Adventureland.
I'm the great Bukowski.
like owned your own home, had a vehicle.
I had a turban. And a bathrobe.
Yeah. Well, this is the greatest thing I've ever
I wish
heard.
There were pictures. I don't think anyone ever took a picture.
I wonder why.
Were there photographs back then?
There was like chiseling, you know.
That's just hieroglyphs of you with a turban on.
I used to get my chisels from Dollar Chisel Club.
But then I found out it wasn't actually a dollar. I paid like $9 per chisel, and it just wasn't cool. But...
Oh, man. Well, I can make a cup go through a wooden table.
You can still do some of the magic?
Well, absolutely.
Why have I never known this?
I don't know.
Do you just not openly say this to people?
Well, I don't know where my Chinese linking rings are these days, and I had all the stuff,
you know.
And
here's the deal. Get you a pair.
Well, we're going to set aside a special broadcast for Dan's cliched and possibly culturally offensive magic show.
No, here's what needs to happen. When Silverside shows up,
yep.
they are going to be preceded by Dan as the great Bukowski.
Booba, you've said that name wrong like four times
is
in a row.
Is it Bukowski?
Like Plutowski.
Plutowski.
Like Pluto.
Hey, I'm sorry, I'm not really worried about getting the name right.
The great Buffenberger.
the great Ingabooski.
I heard him say it, I just am ignoring that.
I'm sorry, I'm not putting a lot of stock into actually getting the name correct.
I was big, okay? All over Clear Lake.
Boova, that is a stock white guy move, though, is to hear someone who with a rough last name pronounce it correctly and then within seconds mispronounce it completely wrong.
My last name is Engeldinger.
I know.
I understand the plight of the great Bukowski over there.
It is
Stufowski. I don't care.
I feel like you should sympathize more and get his name right.
Plutowski.
Thank you.
The great Plutowski.
I would say it seems to run in the European culture.
I'll put
culture.
Smug diction on it. It's the great Plutowski.
Now you're just mocking him.
I am.
I'm sorry, Dan.
I've been mocking you the entire time.
All right, here we go. I will. I got one, Mike, and you got some more, okay? All right, here was the mailed in. Dear Life from the Path, I'm the father of a young family, and I'm ready to go off the grid. There's so much awful stuff on the internet, pornography, violence, cat videos, and so many ways for it to find your kids, PCs, phones, tablets. How do I stay connected and yet protect my children from the perverts? What has worked for your family?
Boys?
Well, I don't think you can get off the grid. I mean, the grid's just going to get bigger. You know, I mean, it's just the kid. Your kids are going to grow up and live in this world. You've got to teach them how to handle and maneuver and wade through this stuff.
So I suppose one of the questions is... there's so much awful stuff on the internet.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sure, like, it's more readily accessible, although I don't know there's certainly cyclical nature of cultures where, you know, you could walk by the temples and there would be temple worship going on in there, right? And, like, kids probably aren't blind to that type of thing either.
Yeah.
So
put that on the stenograph.
That better be Artemis. So the truth is, it's not going away, and you probably can't hide them completely from it. So the final question was, how do I stay connected and yet protect my children from the perverts? And frankly, that's probably a good children question. It's a good personal question.
Yeah.
How do you stay connected to a world that needs Jesus and yet protect yourself from the things that the world has to offer that otherwise might try to draw you away?
You teach them how to handle it. Teach them how to respond to it. Start with yourself. How do you handle it in a mature fashion? Because obviously you're not getting sucked in by it, or maybe, I don't know. But as a healthy adult, how are you supposed to respond to it? And then as a child, how are they supposed to respond to these sorts of things? It's not always something that you can just run and hide from. And quite frankly, the power within us is greater than the power that's in the world. So it's not something that needs to be feared. It's just, as you're training up children, teach them how to respond to it. Teach them as a parent, how do you deal with these things? How do you respond to it? And how should they?
So, for example, I have an 8-year-old daughter, and she loves YouTube cat videos and Minecraft videos, like how to do stuff on Minecraft, right? And she will ask if, I didn't previously allow her to have YouTube on a mobile device. I had it on mine, but she didn't have it on hers. And she asked if she could have it, and I said, I tell you what, let's sit down and talk for a minute. And so we sat down, we had a talk about it. I said, there's some things on here that... it's not where God says the joy is. And so what I'm going to tell you is that if you can tell me what you're going to look at, and then I can see the next day, I'll have a look at what you did. And if it's exactly what you said you did, then I'm going to call that a start of a good trust, and I'll leave this YouTube thing on here. But if you see something that you thought, man, this is not what I was after, I want you to come tell me and just show me what it was, and then we'll talk about it and ask whether it was fair. And the thing is like, I don't want her to go through, and she's not a boy, so maybe the conversation is not the same, but it's close, right? It's like, I don't want to be like the first boob, you know, that a young man sees over at their buddy's house in a magazine, to be a complete shock, and always something that's unattainable, and like, it's wrong, and I know it's wrong, but I want to see it kind of thing, right? Like, I want to have had that conversation with my kids already, that like, it's out there, it exists, and this is what it's offering you. And this is what God says about that offer, and then at least the secretive, I'm not supposed to be doing this, or you know, maybe it offers more than it promises, thought process tends to go away, and it can and you can see those kind of things and say, you know, my dad told me about this. This is what they're offering me. I just don't think I'm interested. Like, it looks different than what I'm used to, but like, from what my dad told me and from what God says, like, I at least I know I'm understanding at face value what it is. All the mystery is out. Yeah. And I think that's a lot healthier than attempting to hide it.
Yeah, and be honest while you're describing it. I mean, if you paint it as though it's just something that is entirely evil and has nothing desirable about it, and then they see it for the first time, and it's like, oh, wait, that's desirable. All of a sudden, you've kind of discredited yourself because you've painted it as some kind of ultimate evil instead of just being honest about, hey, look, it's something that's desirable, but it's just, it's bad news. And describe through what some of the bad news is about it, what accurately is going on in it, and that helps to equip them to be able to handle that.
Yeah, we taught our children from early on that not everyone, you know, believes in Jesus. Not everyone lives and follows Jesus. They have different ways of living, and some of them are they just do things completely different than we do. And not to be surprised, and not to, you know, be judgmental necessarily toward them. Just certain things you just avoid. And when you see other people doing those things, it doesn't mean you should enjoy with them. You just kind of stay away, you know, and kind of what you said. It's a lot of education. Because it's there. You can't hide it. You know, our neighbors used to, when I was a little kid, their parents didn't want their kids to see violent television. They had circled on the TV guide. Back then you had a TV guide, and it what shows they could watch. So I'd invite them over to my house. It's like, hey, Planet of the Apes is on. Come on over. They couldn't watch it at their house. You know, I thought, well, that's ridiculous. It's Planet of the Apes, you know. Yeah. And your children's friends are going to have the same thing.
Yeah, holy cats, watch out for Dan.
I know.
Who will take the parents' wishes and then say, hey, come to my place and watch a little Planet of the Apes.
Well, I would say there's people who probably would say worse. You can see on my phone these days.
Yeah,
you know?
Right, yeah.
And so you got to prepare them for, there are people like me out there. That.
Well, I mean, look at the way that God deals with you, right? Like, he gives you freedom, but he also gives you the freedom to make an informed choice. That's what you're trying to give to your kids, right? Like, you have to give them the freedom, otherwise they will take it themselves. Right, like, people strive for that type of freedom, and it's innate in the people that God created. Right, everybody has that struggle for to be free, to have the choice to make any type of choice. Right, and so, like, your kids will get that; they'll struggle it out of your hands if you refuse to give it to them. And so, you just have to be able to guide them in a loving way to make an informed choice. And if they choose not to make the good choices, you know, there's depending on their age, you have some things you can do. The older they get, You showed them, and you gave them the choice, and they will just make those choices. Mm-hmm. And the harder you try to stranglehold them to something, the harder they will fight for their freedom right back. And so you have to figure out a way to come alongside them, not behind them or in front of them, when they start getting older, to help them make an informed choice. And they will appreciate that freedom in spades. And I think it's going to work out that even if they make a slew of terrible choices, at least they'll know that they were loved in the beginning, they're loved at the end, and they will come back and try to revert those choices. Despite what they've done, and you didn't have to sever your relationship in the process.
Right, right. I mean, biblically, all the Essenes got was a little bit of time to kind of huddle together and stay away from the world, and then slaughtered.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's just not going to work out.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
No. Yeah. On the other hand, you've got God actually walking with Adam and Eve through the garden, even though right in the middle of it was this tree that was just bad news, and God was telling them, "Hey, this tree's bad news, but here it is. We're going to walk together through this garden, and you know, walk with your kids through life."
I like it. I like it. There is no secular advice. That was just a pure dear life from the path. Hey, all right. Actually, Mike, I think we're gonna wait on any more dear lives from the path because I want to hit the. Dan's got some what's trending. What do you got over there, Dan?
Oh, wow. Man, this is deep stuff.
Okay.
All right. I got a couple things. Okay. One is an advocate for abstinence education has become pregnant the second time out of wedlock. You probably heard of her, Bristol Palin, not her sailor. Sarah Palin, excuse me. Having her second child that came out, I think it was last week, from a Christian family, been very outspoken, you know, about abstinence and everything. And as you can expect, she's getting a lot of heat back from hate groups that don't like her anyway, but especially, you know, people on the other side of this. So here's the question. How active should Christians be in speaking out publicly about issues of morality?
Holy cats, Dan.
What?
Hold on, he's going to whittle this down to three easy choices.
It's very simple.
Okay. Go on.
How active should we be? A is very active. A moral society is a happy society. Mm-hmm. B, we should be silent, because if we do happen to make a mistake, we'll just make Jesus look bad.
Okay.
Or C, we should keep our teaching of morality within the church and the family, because it's none of our business to worry about what everybody else is doing.
Oh, I'm not sure you gave a palatable answer, Dan.
I don't think I identify with any of them.
Is there a D, E, and F, perhaps? Because this is a pretty broad topic.
Yeah, you're missing a couple letters in the alphabet,
that's it.
Dan.
This is it. I've narrowed it down.
Wow.
So give a better answer.
Okay, yeah.
This is just a conversation starter.
Yeah, okay.
This is not the authoritative.
Come on, I'm working here. I'm working.
That's the magic of the Great Blue
Don't Test. Don't you say that stupid.
The Great Blue Test from me. Strikes again. See, I've got these rings together. Now you've got three answers to a really difficult question. Go.
All right. Yeah, what's the right answer?
D, you're a gimp, which is from Wayne's World, if you didn't pick up on that. I'm giving people time to think.
Oh, yeah, that's a good call. That's a good call.
Boo, we're going to need an answer here.
I can tell that because there's multiple people looking at me. You're arguing the wrong point. Our goal is not to speak out on points of morality.
What about Billy Graham? He talks tens of thousands to make disciples.
How would you let me give the answer?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
The answer is you need to get a terminal disease, and then within 8 weeks, then really
preach the crowds.
No, don't preach morality. Preach Jesus. Talk to people about Jesus and a life with him and a life in the kingdom of Christ. Morality is going to come with allegiance to God. Now, realize that I'm not saying that, meaning that you're going to get, you're going to find God and then everything's going to fix itself. That's not what I'm saying with that statement. However, there's no point in us trying to talk about, you know, this is God's heart on this, and this is where Jesus says we need to do, if the person doesn't give a rip about Jesus.
Right.
There's no point in me going, Jesus says this about this, and God says this about this, when the person doesn't know either God or Jesus or care what they say. Your point is not to go out and preach morality. Jesus did not preach morality. He preached a kingdom that he was bringing to overthrow another kingdom. He talked about those for, this is what you act like in my kingdom. This is what you act like when you are a follower of my Father. He didn't say, hey, random generic person that I'm going to call buddy. He didn't say, you know, you should make sure that you're doing this. He said, in my kingdom, you will act like this. With my people, they will act like this. So the premise is wrong in general. You shouldn't be preaching about morality. It's pointless.
So wasn't that A, don't preach morality?
No, A was very active.
Oh, yeah, very active. Yeah.
C was don't be active at all. We need to talk within our church and our families, which I disagree with.
And B,
because
was,
we need to be out of
don't,
there.
Don't preach morality. So you're B.
Yeah, yeah, Boov, I think you're in.
Okay,
you agree with Dan's
I
guess, B.
Actually, I think you're C on this one.
I guess, fine, I'll be either one I need to be, but expanded more into stop preaching morality in general and start preaching Jesus.
Okay, so Boov is going with the blowhard C.
So, yeah, it sounds like a C. It's a, once someone is already in Jesus, then start talking about morality after the fact. Is that about right?
Yeah.
I did, okay. Told you I narrowed it down.
Right, I'm pretty sure that's C.
Yeah.
Ta-da. Right.
Josh Crawford, where are you at on this thing?
Where am I at? I think that you gave a great answer because, you know, as we've seen through legislation, you know, you can't legislate morality. It's the same idea as giving your kids rules on the internet. You can't make them because there's a rule to not look at it that suddenly they won't look at whatever. So it's the same idea. You know, you have to make a Christian life or a relationship with God and to know him attractive enough that people see that in you enough, whatever, that you are preaching Jesus, that they can know that for themselves. And then you have to just let the Holy Spirit and God convict the things that need to fall off of their life. You know, obviously the whole splinter plank scripture, there's all sorts of things. It all gets into comparing, right? Like, well, I follow God and this is the way I live. And you follow God, and that's the way you live, and you're wrong. You know, you can't get into that. It's just they haven't essentially drawn close enough, really, to God to where he's requiring more to drop off of their life, that he's requiring more obedience or more holiness. You know, we're all at a different place, but I agree with that answer.
Yeah. Yeah. You remember we talked about, this has been a couple years ago, I think, but like we were talking about, I don't know, legalizing marijuana or something. And one of the answers I think we came to is like, we are not called to be someone else's Holy Spirit. Like, the Holy Spirit will do his work. And so, certainly called to point people to Jesus, but, like, the we cannot force transformation in life that God is also ultimately responsible for. Like, and we've had that, we've had conversations about that before, too, whereas, like, some of the things that you're trying to do in life, you need to let go of because they're God's to handle. And, like, give it to him to handle. He will, he's in the transformation business. I'm not in the transformation business. I'm in the introduction business. I help people meet Jesus. Jesus is in the transformation business. And so, when we start making the right distinctions about what we can possibly do and then what God is ultimately responsible for, give to God what is God's. and I think that does solve a lot of those issues where societally we have fought for a bit of a facade. And then we were satisfied with that. And there's a million, millions of people that are adhering to the facade because it's the law of the land, but don't know Jesus. And we didn't cross inch one. And we can't be satisfied with that. And so, I mean, there is still, I suppose the thing that, that hangs for me is that, like, there's part of me that holds on to the fact that, like, we live in a democratic society of which I have the ability to engage legislatively, and it feels completely irresponsible. I'm not saying bow out of that process. Right. What I'm saying is that, like, don't act like it has the power to change people. Like, know what you're fighting for. You're fighting for fences in one arena and in restoration in the other. And we put a, just make sure that you are not disproportionately spending your time fighting for fences when we should be fighting for transformation. And I think that's probably the level of distinction. Cause like, I think you can take what we're talking about and say, well, if we're not in that business, then why, I bow out completely. And I don't know. I that doesn't seem like the right answer. Although I think I bend that way. I don't think it's right. But I think if there is a proportion of which, what are you in it for? Are you in it for, because you want to see those fences up, or because you want to see people, people's lives changed, and this helps, I don't know, keep them from harming themselves to an extent to not do it. I don't know where that line sits. I pray through that. But like, what do I care about? I care about people meeting Jesus, and I don't need to fight them to wear a wig. I just want them to be changed.
Herrick says C.
No, I agree. Yeah. C's the right answer.
Say C.
Okay. Make disciples.
Way to go, Dan. You really shaved that down to three choices. Everybody's like, Dan's ridiculous. But no, it seemed pretty cut and dry.
Mm-hmm. I'm an underestimated man.
That's a true one.
And amateur magician.
Yes. All right, let's finish one more, and then we'll have Josh kind of close the show.
This is the power packed one right here.
Okay, let's have it.
Okay, recently a robot groom married a robot bride in Tokyo, right? There were 100 robot friends there. They had invitations, party decorations, wedding cake, everything, orchestra, the whole thing. It was officiated by a robot named Pepper, and they even shared a kiss. Okay, here's the question. Should the church recognize robot marriages? This is serious. Oh. A, yes. If the robots love each other, they deserve to be mechanically happy.
Oh, mechanically happy.
B, no. Robots cannot physically become one flesh because they have no flesh. Or C, I don't care as long as it's not in my church.
I thought it was a synopsis of the new Terminator movie. That's what I was reading.
Terminator Genesis. Robot on robot.
How it began, mouth. Right? It's Adam and Eve of the Terminator race.
Oh man, I cannot even put together in my mind the nerd fest that is orchestrated. This combination of stuff, I love people like this. Who, I mean, they change the world, but I'm not sure they've considered how they're changing the world.
What happens when the internet goes out in that part of Tokyo? You know what I'm saying? People have to come out of their house and be like, "You know what we should do?
Hey, man, my robot's been laying your robot
down. Do you want to make a robot wedding?" Why didn't you ask that a week ago? Yes.
Yes.
Let's invite the toasters.
How many fridges were in attendance?
B.
B.
Can I vote B?
I'll vote B.
Okay, well, hold on. Can I attend this thing?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, yeah B. Yeah. If I can still go.
As long as I'm not excluded, I mean, B.
I'm not going to stand in the back and be like, heresy. I'm just going to show up and attend this thing and be like, this is cool.
Can I object? I mean, is there a room to object?
Is there anyone against this match?
I object for binary purposes.
Yeah. Here's the deal. That man don't even have a job. He used to work at a tire factory. At least 30% of them did.
There's most certainly going to be a power struggle in that relationship.
Did they make like an older model robot give away the robot bride?
It went real slow.
Like they wheel in like an old 1992 like computer that walks it down.
He goes, I used to be the Pope Mobile.
So I think on the Pope Mobile, you were confusing the Big Trouble in Little China with those guys that were floating down there.
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry.
It's an honest mistake.
I didn't bring that up on the real show. Cause, you know.
Does anybody want to offer a dissent from B? Is it no?
What if they put my brain inside of a robot? No?
What?
Something to think about.
No, it's not? No.
No, that's not something to think about.
Hey, we're going to have to deal with this sooner or later, boys.
I've seen it in the movies.
Brains being transplanted into robots and then wondering if matrimony's okay?
Ben put a deposit down on a brain robot when he was 22. And I'm going to have to deal with this when I'm 88.
some traveling salesman was selling some kind of robot transplant thing for you and you bought it? Good for you, Ben.
Here's the deal. You can't be as part of the wave of the future if you're living in the past, Booba.
Yeah.
Hey, man, if the wave of the future is my brain and a robot, I don't want to be on the wave of the future.
Hey, you're the toaster. I'm the Wi-Fi.
That's fine. That's people still love toast.
That's true.
Ah, shoot, yeah, that is true. I'm in and out.
I don't remember the last time I had a toast problem. I remember the last time I had a Wi-Fi
That's
problem.
True. I'm snazzy but unreliable. Crap.
You're high-tech, buddy.
Very
well,
much.
I've been around for hundreds of
very
years.
Very much like Tom Cruise.
Sure, I'm never going to get married with these qualifications. People are going to marry Booba, the tried and true.
The timeless classic, hey, man, you got bread? You want it to be toasted? Here I am.
He's available and can turn on the heat when necessary. I'm hit and miss when
push
you need
the
me the most. And I run away when the storms are hitting. All right, that's done. That's too much. It's even internet radio can't take that. You've been listening live from the path. Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna try to rescue the show. We're the guys scratching at the outside of the ark, saying, "Hey, we might be able to get in." that's this program.
And Crawford standing in the window, going, "I'm sorry, boys.
I'm sorry,
gentlemen. Yeah. You're not allowed."
Our show is the way to route your eschatology. We're scratching at the boat. So Crawford's gonna rescue us here. He's gonna play us out with a tune. What are you going to rescue the show with? Go ahead.
I'll do Fall Into You is what it's called.
All right. Any commentary on this one? Or just soak it in like the breeze?
It's very straightforward. Just the idea of letting go and just falling into just the arms of God and just trusting in Him. So,
all right. Cool. Well, let's a big thanks to Josh Crawford for hanging out with us. Find him on Facebook. Look for Josh Crawford Music. And pick up that album. The three tunes you heard on the show tonight are on it. And acoustic is kind of a second deal for him. You can expect amplified action.
That's right.
On the album,
full band arrangements. It's pretty snazzy.
Yep. Yep. It's the right thing to do. Is what the thing is to do. So we're gonna let him send the show out. Big thanks to Bob Eisenhower with the Eisenhower team in Westfield Veterinary Hospital. You've been listening live from the path. Enjoy Josh Crawford. Thanks for listening.
Behold, you are fair, my love. Behold, you are fair, my beloved. And oh, how you've waited, all so patient, from the foundations you long for you and me. My Lord, until the daybreak, I will make haste and I will get to the mountain. I will get to you, my love, and I fall into your arms, and I fall into your hope, and I fall into your love, into you. So let us meet beneath your banner. Beneath your banner, the banner of love, oh God. Oh, how you've waited, oh so patient, from the foundations you've longed for you and me. My Lord, until the day break, I will make haste. Yes, I will get to you, my love, and I fall into your arms, and I fall into your hope, and I fall into your arms, into you. The arms of a father come hold me now, and the arms of a father come. Let the arms of a father come hold me now, and the arms of a father come. Let the arms of a father come, hold me now, and the arms of a father come. Let the arms of a father come, hold me now, and the arms of a father come. And I fall into your hope, and I fall into your love, and